Repentance is not only essential as the Christian life begins, but also as it continues. I hope you know that. And because we bring up repentance so often here, you might then, and you should then, remember what repentance truly is. Repentance is more than just a turning away from sin. It is also, you're turning away from sin, but it's also a turning to then what is good.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. Thankful that you have joined us here today. Live in the Light believes in the radical transformation through the revelation of God's truth. That's a mouthful, but what it really means is we believe that when we walk verse by verse through God's Word, God's Spirit begins to change and to transform our lives. There's a message in the text of the Word for us, and specifically, there's a message for all of us today. It's a message that addresses fear. My name is Craig Turnbull. I'm the host of Live in the Light. And with me in our studios is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And Robbie, we're walking through a series entitled No Reason to Fear. And today's passage brings a great answer for fear in our lives, doesn't it?
It really, really does. And we were talking like just a bit earlier, just how we're excited for today because we believe today is the answer for so many people. This is what God's Word does. It speaks to us where we are. And as we see fear trying to creep in and paralyze us and get us to worry and bite our fingernails, spiritually speaking, and really take us down paths we don't want to go, God's Word says, wait, time out. I got a different direction for you today. I got a new direction. I got a direction of blessing and of peace and of faith and love. And what that is, it's the direction of pursuing God Himself. That's the power of what we're called to do. Instead of sitting still and wondering and waiting and fearful, go for God. Pursue Him. Love Him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And today we're looking at one thing have I asked and one thing will I seek after. I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That is an awesome truth that is going to reach many hearts today. I just know it. And so if you're encouraged today, praise God. And if you're encouraged today, we'd love to hear from you of how God is working in your heart too. Because again, today's not by accident. Today is an appointed time between you and the Lord and me and the Lord, and He wants to use it powerfully within your life to say, forget the lies, forget the fear, I'm going for Christ, and He's going to make a huge impact upon my life today. Oh God, may it be so, for your glory I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. And listen, as Robbie has said, if you're one of those listeners that this message is affecting you directly and you want a copy of today's message, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit our website, liveinthelight.ca, and get a free download today of this message. In fact, while you're there, you can order the entire series, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Well, we're fleeing fear today by pursuing God. Let's go right now to the Word of God, and here again is Pastor Rod.
I'm excited for where we are going today. We often bring up the subject of repentance. Why do we often bring up the subject of repentance? Well, because the Bible does. And the reason the Bible does is because it's so critical for the Christian life. Repentance is not only essential as the Christian life begins, but also as it continues. I hope you know that. And because we bring up repentance so often here, you might then, and you should then, remember what repentance truly is. Repentance is more than just a turning away from sin. It is also, you're turning away from sin, but it's also a turning to then what is good. It's not good enough just to turn away from what is wrong. True repentance is what we then turn to replace that evil with what then is righteous, the virtue that is good. The example that we use around is the example of dandelions. Why? Because I can't stand dandelions. So dandelions, when you get them, you pluck them out, you dig down deep, you get the root, you rip it out, and you say, ha ha, dandelion, and you throw it in the garbage, then there's a hole there, and you must replace then the hole with some dirt, and then some grass seed, and then water it, and then the purity of the green grass is seen. So much is the same with repentance. You turn away from the sin, which leaves a hole, but then you replace that hole with something good as you turn then to the Lord in righteousness. Turning from sin, turning to the Lord in faith. You say, what does this have to do with battling fear? Everything. Because in our battle for fear, which I want to remind us affects all of us, the model of repentance says it all. It's where we start. See, because we have no reason to fear, and because God has our back and everything else too, which is the thrust of Psalm 27, because this is true, then when our minds are renewed in this truth, we then must turn from fear and then run to God. So when fear hits us, anxiety and worry and fear is underlining so many things in our lives, we must turn from fear, but then not just stay neutral. Sanctification continues on, and then we turn from fear and then pursue faith. We then pursue the Lord. We run to God. And loved ones, it is very difficult to overcome or to be overcome with fear when we are actively in pursuit of our awesome God. Did you know that? It is very difficult to be overcome with fear when we are actively in pursuit of our awesome God. It's like when we're pursuing the Lord and running after him, and we're seriously going for him, the one thing I desire thing, it's like fear can't catch up. It's like fear doesn't have enough horsepower. It cannot keep up with the person genuinely seeking after our God. Check out these verses on pursuing or seeking after the Lord. I always want to get us to understand from the Bible. These are verses from the Old Testament. These are verses of seeking after the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. It says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. 1 Chronicles 16, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, such an amazing chapter. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. How many people resonate with that? A lot. Listen, Jehoshaphat was afraid and he just sat there. No. And he set his face to seek the Lord. That's awesome. And that's it right there. He was afraid. But he set his face to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Seeking the Lord costs something. It's going to come at a price. Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Here's some more verses. Psalm 77, verse 2, in the day of trouble, I seek the Lord. A lot of days of trouble is represented here right now and will be in the future. In the day of trouble, I seek the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 4. Love this verse. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And this last one could be my favorite. Hosea 10, verse 12. I love the imagery of cultivation, gardens, agriculture. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Listen, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord that he may come. Lord, please tonight, God, please tonight, that you may come and rain righteousness upon us. Break up your hard heart. Break up your fallow ground. Get the cultivator ripping through the hard soil to break up so that fruit might come up. You might seek the Lord. The time has come to seek the Lord. Listen, that he may come and rain righteousness down upon you. You know, I've been studying in Deuteronomy this month just personally, and consider the storyline of Deuteronomy and really the Pentateuch. What does God want? I mean, it's so simple. You read through the Pentateuch, you read through the Bible. What does God want? He wants the hearts of his people. Over and over and over again in Deuteronomy, he's like, purge the evil from your midst. I kept underlining where it said, purge the evil from your midst, dozens of times. Purge the evil from your midst and seek me, he says. God is saying, listen, enough with evil, love the Lord. God says, enough with idolatry, go for the Lord. God says, enough with selfishness, up with loving the Lord. And as always with the Israelites and with us, it's not that complicated. Listen, the pursuit of God is the will of God. There's no questions about that. What's God's will for my life? Start here. The pursuit of God is the will of God. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all. How you doing on that one? How you doing on the greatest commandment? Start there. Start by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And of course, as we pick up with David, what do we find? We find a man who totally gets this. He was a man after the heart of God, after the heart of God. Again, not a huge secret as to why David was used. He loved his God. Loved ones, he loved his God. In all his sin and all his failures and all his imperfections, he loved his God and he went after him. He went after him. This message this weekend, it's not new. It is so important. It decides where you are with the Lord. It's the pursuit. You want to flee fear and fight fear? Pursue God. Pursue the Lord. I'm just praying for a great weekend of fruit. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I beg you for your power to be unleashed upon us. Seeking you, Lord, all week because this verse, these texts have just been moving on my heart over and over again. The pursuit of God is the most important thing we will ever do. God, please, would you line it up so it makes such sense as only you can. Spirit of God, when you are here and moving, your word changes lives. So as always, with every weekend, we seek to pray the same prayer. Say, God, please move among us. God, please, please, may we hear you and see you and follow after you. God, please, would you change lives in our midst? God, please, would you give us a growing hunger for that which matters most? Would we flee fear and then pursue the Lord? Oh God, may this not be another weekend of going through the motions. In the name of Jesus Christ, may that never happen and not now. No playing church, no check marks, real authentic living for Jesus Christ. Spirit of God, please, please do that. Right now we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's read our text, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Loved ones, if that is not underlined, you know what to do. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Love that. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. You want to fight fear? Then you got to flee fear. How do you flee fear? Pursue the Lord. Pursue the Lord. And when I'm pursuing the Lord, these are the things that I will find happens in my life through this text. When I'm in pursuit of God, number one, and this is most important right here, ready? When I'm in pursuit of God, the Lord is my one passion. When I am in the pursuit of God, the Lord is my one passion. I cannot stress enough how important this is to the Christian life. Anyone who will be greatly used, what is it about them? They simply love the Lord. Anyone who is greatly used, they simply love the Lord. And to love the Lord, listen, this is so key. To love the Lord is then to hunger for him. And what you hunger for becomes what you are passionate about. Can you see that in your life? What are you hungry for in your life? Whatever you're hungry for, that's what becomes what you are passionate about. And what do we see around here sometimes? We say this, what we are hungry for will determine what we feed ourselves. Or this way, what we are hungry for determines our menu in life. What we are hungry for determines the menu we eat from each and every day. For instance, if you hunger for wealth and money, then your menu in your life will be filled with the pursuit of money. If you hunger for self-indulgence, then your menu will be filled with self-indulgences. If you hunger for worldliness, then your life menu will be filled with materialism and so on. What's on the menu for you today? That is determined by what we're passionate about. But here's the beautiful truth. When you hunger for the Lord, then your menu is filled with the things of the Lord. And listen, listen, as David said in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see the menu of God and how good he is. Let's check out David's menu then. David's menu, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I am hungry for, that I am passionate about, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Beloved, do not miss this. Notice this. Don't miss it. One thing have I asked of the Lord. One thing. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and therefore it follows one thing will I seek after. One thing. What's your one thing? What's your one desire? One thing that gets my attention. One thing, David? One thing. One thing have I asked of the Lord. What's your one thing? This reminds me of Luke 10, Mary and Martha. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, Martha running around preparing food. Martha looks at Mary, gets mad, complains to Jesus, Jesus, why aren't you doing something? Mary's just sitting there doing nothing. I'm doing all the work. How does Jesus respond? Jesus responds by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled over many things. He says this, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion and it will never be taken away from her. Don't miss that. Do not miss what the Bible is saying. What's the one thing Mary was doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. If you have one goal in your life, seek to dwell in the house of the Lord. Seek to gaze upon the beauty of Christ. Seek to be so satisfied you cannot contain the emotion, the joy, the delight. One thing, he says. God, please make that my one thing. There is so much power in the one thing. So much power. You know, I am utterly convinced of this simplicity. I am utterly convinced for my life of this simplicity of if I do anything else, I will wake up and seek the Lord. I will spend my life on one thing. I am utterly convinced taking complexity. Complexity must be taken to the curb, so to speak. Our world is so filled with distractions and noise and chaos and heartaches and sin and just think about your life. Think about the traffic you sit in. Think about these handheld gadgets. I have one of these things. And if I'm not careful, this can become an idol in my life. It is noise to the heart that seeks for Christ. If I'm not, it's not wrong, but it can be. Think about TV. You know, I dwell upon the holy men and women of the past a lot. And what do I see in them? I see a continuous time set apart, seeking after God in seriousness, in simplicity, and in time, and quiet, and reverence. They were blessed to not have TVs. Listen, I watch TV. It's not wrong, but it can be. It crowds out the one thing. And I could go on for 3 hours listing all the things in our lives that are just like in our ears. And I look at all that and I get to a point, I'm like, enough! It's time to take complicated to the curb. You know, this is such a good exercise. If you're serious about one thing, you get out your spiritual garbage, so to speak, and it might be physical in your case. Open it up and throw the things in that are killing your relationship with Christ. Do it. Open it up and simplify your life for the things of God. Show him you love him. Dedicate your life to what matters most. Believe in your heart that one thing have I asked of the Lord. One thing will I seek after that I may dwell in. Love, I'm telling you, I have so far to go. This week's hard on me because I sit on these texts and all the sin of my life and all the things that stand in the way. It's hard for me, but I believe it. And again, God is reminding me again of something I've heard 1,000 times, but today it's as fresh in my heart than ever before. Because that's what God's word does. One thing. What's complicated in your life? What's distracting you? What is the noise? Put it in the garbage. Put it on the curb. One thing. One thing. And at this point, what does David say? He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. At this point, the house of the Lord or the temple, this was actually still a tent. You can see the word tent used in verse 6. David built this tent. Why? Somewhere to place the ark of the Lord in. You can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 6. But it's not the physical temple that David's really after. It's the presence of God he wants so much, he's consumed with. It's the presence of God found within the temple. Now study verse 4 carefully. David seeks to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Do you see this? This is not a temporary occupation. It's a calling of a lifetime. All the days. What's he saying? He's saying, every day I live, I'm going to seek one thing. He knows he won't do it perfectly. He knows there'll be days that are difficult. He knows there'll be days that will frustrate him. They'll catch him off guard. But he says the pattern of my life each and every day is one thing I will seek after. It's the presence of God to be led by him and to dwell among his glory. And loved ones, why does he want to do this? This is so good. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Right here, loved ones, this is the greatest purpose this life has to offer. What is it? It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart. That's it. The more you love the Lord, the more beautiful he becomes. Why? Not that he changes, we change. And the more we change like Jesus Christ, the more we see God for who he is, and the more we are struck by the incredible beauty that he gives off. In fact, if we get close enough, we will be literally blown over by how awesome our God is. We talk about the beauty of the Lord. What are we talking about? This, the beauty of his holiness. That I may gaze upon the beauty of the holiness of God, his perfection, his majesty, his glory. The beauty of his omnipotence, his power, his sovereignty, his supremacy. The beauty of his love and mercy. His withholding wrath, his sparing us judgment, his love. The beauty of his grace. His loving kindness, his forgiveness, the grace found in the cross and the resurrection from the dead, the grace he offers with such generosity to those who believe in him, the grace, the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the beauty we're talking about. And you see, David gets it. He so gets this. The question is, do we believe and then act upon the fact that the greatest place we could ever be is in the presence of Almighty God? Do we believe that? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, says the psalmist. Better is one day. Do we live like that? Do we live like that? You know, some of the greatest moments of my life have occurred in this room. No exaggeration. Some of the greatest moments of my life has occurred in this very room. All of the greatest moments of my life have occurred in the presence of God. Because there's nothing like encountering the Lord. And when you've tasted his presence and seen his beauty, nothing else satisfies. Nothing else satisfies. Why do you think we have such high expectations for our services? Because we keep reading the Bible. Because we want the Lord so much. See, what I do this week is I sit on verse 4. And I look at this and I'm like, God, how then can I not beg you and ask you that you may dwell among us in such a powerful way, in such a beautiful way, that you may cause people to look up from selfishness and sin and the world and to see you in radiance and glory and say, God, all my life is yours. I'm done with that. God, I want you. I want you. How can I not ask God for that? How can I set my standards on the world? How can I go for mediocrity? How can I expect you to be like, I just go through the motions? I can't. because our God is so awesome and so he can do anything. How do I not ask for revival? How do I not beg God that your heart will be absolutely captured for the things of Jesus Christ? My prayer today was, Lord, never allow your people this weekend to forget verse 4. Please never allow them. May they remember this message on some level for the rest of their lives. Because it's that important. When I'm in pursuit of the Lord, he becomes my one passion. So what do? Well, right now we repent. We repent of all the other passions that have replaced the love of the Lord. And if you're like me, then you pray for brokenness and humility. You know, I read in Deuteronomy this week in chapter 31, God was speaking. He said this, "For when I have brought them into the land," tune your ears to the reading of God's word, "for when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers," listen, "and they have eaten and are full and have grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant." That hit me hard. When we get what we want, so often we turn and then pursue ourself. God, give me what I want, and then I will go and I will get fat, spiritually speaking. And when we turn to the world, we despise our God and we break what he has intended for us in purity and love. Here are some idols that you can repent of right now. I wrote down a top 10 list. Idol number one, money. Money. Idol number two, pleasure. Anything that has your heart, more so than God has your heart, is an idol, anything. Idol number three, pursuit of happiness. Relationships. Any person that has your heart more than the Lord is an idol. It's an idol. Position. I must be, I must have. I will not give up. Love can be an idol. Do you know that? Love can be an idol. Respect. Sports, hobbies. Stuff, things, material goods often become idols. A power is an idol. Acceptance can be an idol. Acceptance. Lord God, we repent of the idols in our midst that have prevented us from seeing the one thing, from following after the one thing. When I'm in pursuit of God, the Lord is my one passion. Point number two now. When I'm in pursuit of God, my faith is rock solid. That's right. My faith is rock solid. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high." Here it is. "He will lift me high upon a rock." Notice now the connection between verse 4 and verse 5. When you're reading God's word, it's written in a certain flow for a certain reason. Here's the flow. Passionate longing for the Lord leads to a certainty of truth in the Lord. So the more you pursue the Lord, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you believe in the truth surrounding him. The more you believe, the more you believe this. Ready? The more you believe, the more you believe this. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.